So they don't light your fiery woods wet, amen. That's awesome. That is awesome. Turn if you would in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. I am glad the Lord leads me. And if you're a Christian this morning, if you're a believer and know Jesus Christ, your Savior, a child of God, the Lord leads you. And I'm thankful He does. Romans 12, our theme verse says for the year, and our theme again, stewarding life. So basically what I've done is these two verses, I've already preached three messages out of them. And so rather than an expository message, which we did the first time, really what I'm doing is choosing words out of here and preaching topical messages on them. So today is holiness. Holiness. So look with me in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says this. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And today again, he says there, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. So last week we preached on what a living sacrifice is. What does that mean? It means we're giving our lives to the Lord, our time, our talent, our treasure, giving everything we have to Him, yielding ourselves to Him. But if we're going to yield ourselves to Him, we are to yield ourselves to Him holy, holy, acceptable unto God. And we'll actually preach acceptable unto God in your reasonable service in another message. But today, holy. What does holy mean? What is holiness? And so we hope to clarify this morning and to teach again what is holiness. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your love. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy that you've so richly extended to us. I do pray this morning that you would help us to comprehend, that your Spirit would help us to understand what true holiness is. And God, would there be some clarity about it this morning? And that each person here, each especially Christians, were to have a fuller understanding of what it means to be holy. And Lord, reminding them and myself of your command that we ought to be holy. God, again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 12, and it says, again, he says, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore. And anytime you see the word therefore or wherefore, we've stopped and we get the context of what it's about and what Paul is preaching and the context around this particular verses. And so really the context is the first 11 chapters. In the first 11 chapters, we have a courtroom scene. And in that courtroom scene, Paul, the attorney, is again interviewing, if you would, or interrogating three witnesses: the pagan man, the moral man, and the religious man. And this is in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Romans. And he's interviewing them, and what he's saying is he's saying that the pagan man, he is a sinner. The pagan man's a sinner. Then he goes on to prove and show you that the moral man, this man who is cultured, not like the pagan man, but he's cultured and he's refined and he drinks his cup, you know, with his pinky sticking out, right? And Paul says, hey, this guy is a sinner too. Yeah. He's just as much a sinner as the pagan man. And then the third one he interviews as his witness is the religious man. And he says the religious man is also a sinner. Yeah. The religious man is also selfish by nature. Amen. And he's just as much a sinner as the cultured person. He is just as much a sinner as the pagan person. And that we are all, and then I'll say that to all of us, myself included, we are all sinners. Yeah. As it is written, Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. You can go on and on. Romans 3:23, Romans 6, and you can go on and on. We are all sinners before God. We are all selfish by nature. All selfish by nature. But I'm thankful, he says, I'm thankful for the buts in the Bible. There's a lot of them there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are all sinners deserving of hell. We are all sinners on our way to hell because that's the penalty of sin. The penalty of being a sinner is hell. But the gift of God is through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ we can have eternal life. Through Jesus Christ we can have our sins forgiven and be placed in Him. And that's Romans 4 and 5. Romans 4 and 5 are describing to us again David and Abraham. These were saved not by their works, but they were saved by putting their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ and his work on Calvary, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Abraham, the Old Testament saints, were saved the same way we are, and that's by putting their faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, it's not by works which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Then Romans 6 goes on to describe for us how that we can have victory in our life over sin. We can have victory in our life over sin. And Paul describes that. We've been pardoned by God. We've been pardoned by the judge. A loving and gracious Savior has stepped into our stead and has died for us. The God of mercy and compassion has found us in our need and in our corruption, and by our very nature and by our practice, we are not deserving of his mercy, but the great judge, the God of the universe, condescended and became a man. And there he, Jesus Christ, again shed his blood and died on an old rugged cross. There he died in our place. And there we are forgiven. We are forgiven of our sins on the basis of the substitutionary work, the substitutionary death, the substitutionary life of Jesus Christ, who took our sins upon himself, who died on Calvary, who gave his life for us as sinners. We are simply sinners saved by grace. Amen. We're just sinners saved by grace. And our sins have been blotted out. Our sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, as Christians, now as children of God, now as believers, we are standing is in favor with God. And we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are now a child of God. We are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, what a Savior who came again, gave his life for us, shed his blood on Calvary, not for sins he had committed, not for crimes he had done, but he died in our place. The substitutionary work, the substitutionary death of Christ. Oh, what a wonderful truth it is that he died in our place. He gave his life in our stead. And Jesus Christ again, the great and wonderful Savior. That's the background in which we see Romans chapter 12. The background is what I've just went through. We are all sinners. We are not saved by our works, but by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We've also been given victory in this life because we now have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, enabling us to have victory over sin in our life. And therefore, he says, because of God's great compassion, because of God's great mercy, in that he saved the pagan man, he saves the cultured man, he saves the religious man, by giving his son's life for him. Because of that, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, Christians, by the mercies of God, his compassion, that you present your bodies, your life, a living sacrifice, unlike the Old Testament sacrifices that were dead. A living sacrifice. In other words, he's begging us as Christians to yield our lives to God. The New Testament makes it very clear that Jesus Christ did only those things which pleased the Father. Jesus said, I went about to do the Father's will. He yielded himself to his heavenly Father. And that's what Paul's begging us to do, to yield ourselves, yield our lives to him. And as we yield our lives to him, we are to live and present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, unto God. What does holy mean? What does holy mean? Webster's dictionary defines holy. Don't turn me off when I start defining stuff. Everybody still with me? Oh, definitions are boring. This is good. Stay with me. Holy, and according to Webster's dictionary, means dedicated to God, consecrated, spiritually perfect. And there's some other definitions, but that's the main ones. What is the biblical definition of holiness or holy? It means without sin, and therefore set apart from sin. It means clean, understand, I believe, again, it's an attribute of God. It's who God is. God is holy. Remember in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the seraphims around the throne were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy." God is holy. Totally separate from sin. Clean. Set apart from sin. A biblical definition, it is the position of the believer as seen by God in Christ. As seen by God in Christ. It means set apart unto God from sin. There are two sides to holiness. Being set apart, being separate from sin, but unto God. And we'll try to cover this and explain it and do the best job I can. The first thing that's here that we just defined is something that's very important, and it is one of those areas in which you have to think through it. That positionally before God, when you accept Christ as your Savior, positionally before God, you are holy because you've been placed in Christ. Amen. It's called imputed righteousness. I've been placed in Christ. Ephesians teaches it over and over again. So does Romans chapter 4 and 5. Imputed righteousness. In other words, my sins have been forgiven. Here it is. My sinful records have been erased. When I accept Christ as my Savior, my sinful records erase. My record, my sinful record, past, present, and future are erased. And Christ's sinless records put in his place. His law fulfilling life, that 33 and a half years that he lived here on earth, that law fulfilling life, that perfect righteous record is put in the place of my sinful record. And positionally before God, let me state it a different way. Legally before God, I'm talking about a record. Legally before God, I am holy. I am righteous. It wasn't holiness that I'd earned or the righteousness that I'd earned. No, Jesus freely gave it to me. I didn't earn that righteous record. I didn't earn that law-fulfilling record. He gave it to me because I called upon the name of the Lord. I believed in him and I trusted him. And he... So before God, because I am in Christ as a child of God, my position is that of holy. I am holy before God. Keep thinking that way, but understand that holiness is also used to describe the process of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and in our lives, conforming us and shaping us to increasingly think and look more like Jesus. All right, so holy has two sides to it when it comes to how we are. We are positionally before God made holy, perfect, righteous. But practically, I like the old song, we are sinners saved by grace. We are just sinners saved by grace. I still sin. Ask my wife. Ask my children. I'm still selfish. I still have that old nature inside of me. But there are two sides to this coin. My position before God and then my practical state here on earth. As a believer, as a Christian, as a born-again child of God, is more and more separated from sin, selfishness, we become increasingly more holy. You say, well, you just said we're perfectly holy. Before God, we are. That's our standing before God. But our state here on earth is we're sinners. The Bible says that we are citizens of heaven already. And boy, that's a whole nother message. But I'm thankful for the Johnny Flanagan song that says, my citizenship's in heaven. I'm living in Christ, you see, because I'm already over on the other side waiting for my body to be. Well, I took a look in the old black book. You know, we're already there, positionally speaking. My record is sinless because my sinful record has been erased and Christ's sinless record put in its place. If some of you could ever just, and I could look out and I could see some of you get it, some of you don't, which is fine, get what you can, right? And this is a hard, it's not, anyway, man, I'm before God. So someday, listen, when I stand before God someday, I will not as a Christian, I will not as a child of God give an account for my sins. When you die, and you go to heaven, and you stand before God, you as a Christian will not give an account for your sins. Your sins have been forgiven. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. They've been made white as snow. It's an amazing thought. Holy. But God, here on earth, our state, practically speaking, God has continued to conform us and shape us into the image of His Son. The Bible calls it sanctification. So you have these big words in the Bible which are important. Justification. That's what happens when you get saved. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you're justified, just as if you'd never sinned. Again, our record erased, Christ put in its place. Now, as a Christian, I'm being sanctified. I'm in this process of sanctification. I'm in this process of practically speaking, becoming more holy. Everybody with me? It's a process. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. God commands us to be holy. Listen closely. It's a command from God. Amen. That you, as a child of God, be holy. You. Hebrews 12:15 says, without holiness we cannot see God. Now that again is talking about our standing before God in Christ is holy. Without being saved, without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, and having your sinful record erased, and Christ's sinful record put in its place, you cannot go to heaven. Because God, you cannot stand before God and have sin and be unholy. Hello? Help me out this morning. But again, back to the practical side. There's a misunderstanding. We need to be very careful with this. You cannot make yourself, by what you do or do not do, more holy. Holiness, and we're talking about practically speaking, as a Christian, how am I to live? If God commands me to be holy, how am I to do that? What does that look like? What we're saying here and what the Bible makes it clear is that it's not what you do that makes you more holy. It's what Christ does through you. Holiness is a result of a focus on Jesus Christ. We never say that, do we? We never talk about that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, right? The author and finisher of our faith. The one thing, keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ. That's what makes you more holy. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 speaks about us being saved by grace through faith, but also to live by faith. Paul says to the church at Galatia, he says, what in the world are you guys doing? You started well. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ in salvation, but you've stumbled, and now in Christian living, as far as living out the Christian life, you're now putting your faith in yourself. We're not only saved by grace through faith, but we are to live by grace through faith. Hello? But we as human beings have a hard time with that. The majority of the world stumbles that salvation is by grace through faith. They want to earn it. I get it all the time. Well, preacher, I was baptized as a kid, and I'm going to heaven. No. You cannot earn or work your way to heaven. Well, I'm a good person. You know, preacher, I try to live better than my neighbor. Well, your neighbor's not the standard. God is. And we all come short of God's standard, the glory of God. No, being a good person won't get you to heaven. I heard that this week from somebody. And every time I hear it, I just cringe. I think, oh, no. No, you can't put your faith in yourself and what you do to get you to heaven. And we as human beings, I'm talking about the majority of the world, stumble at the truth that salvation is by grace through faith and that not of yourself. But we as Christians stumble at the truth that living out the Christian life is by grace through faith as well. We seek to do it on our own. We have a hard time. We like our independence. And when things come our way, when things come our direction, whether it's a detour in life, a, whether it's some kind of discouragement in life or whatever, we have a tendency to look in and try to figure out the things and problems in our own life instead of going to the Lord with it. We have a tendency towards performance-based Christianity, and that is this, that if I have the list and I have a checklist of 10 things the Bible tells me to do or don't do, and if I do those 10 things, then I'll be holy. It's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. Checking off the list of reading your Bible today and checking off the list of praying today and checking off the list of memorizing a scripture today and checking off the list of going to church today and checking off your list that you gave in the offering today, checking off the list that you handed a tract to somebody today, checking off the list that you, and you just go on, I didn't yell at my wife this morning on the way to church, and checking off that list, whatever list that you have accumulated, does not make you holy. Does not make you holy. See, holiness is by grace through faith. We are saved by faith and we are to live by faith. And we need to be careful as Christians, we get this ideal again that we perform in order to be holy. No. You say, well then, I guess we don't have to worry about sin. No. Sin hinders the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Sin hinders and harms us. It hinders the Holy Spirit effort in us to make us spiritual. Think about an escalator in a very large building. Say we have a 10-story building, and you're going to take the escalator because I'm not about to walk up 10 stories. Escalator's a better illustration than an elevator. So escalator, 10 stories. I've been in Mexico in a place, and my wife's been there too, where it's a 5-story building with escalators. You know, you go up, pretty neat. So you're on the escalator. When you get saved, you're placed on the escalator. Escalator's moving. As a Christian, the Holy Spirit's always producing in your life. He's always, by grace through faith, he's producing in your life. He's moving you forward. But you can walk against the escalator. You could turn around and walk down it as it's moving up. If you walk fast enough, you could be going down the escalator. Maybe you walk fast enough to stay, you know, in one spot in the escalator. Maybe you let the escalator move you up to one level and you get off. Maybe you get back on the escalator, and maybe in part of your life, you actually go faster than the escalator. You actually walk up the escalator. All these things we can do in the Christian life. In the Christian life, the Holy Spirit's always working in our life. He's working in us and through us. Amen? That's what the Bible says. He who has work in you will perform it until the day of redemption. He's always working in us, giving us strength and power. He said in Romans chapter 6, you do not have to yield yourselves as instruments of disobedience. You've been given the power over sin. In Romans, he says you are more than conquerors. And the Holy Spirit is there giving you the power to do so if you'll just allow him to. If you'll yield to the Lord. If you'll get on the escalator and submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Yield to him. Submit your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. But that holiness is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You can take your list, and it's important that you read your Bible daily. It's important that you pray daily. It's important that you give. It's important that you attend a church. It's important in your Christian life that you tell others about Jesus. And you may have some more on your list. But those things you do only put you in a position for the Holy Spirit to make you spiritual. Say it again. The things you do only put you in a position for the Lord to make you spiritual, because you cannot do anything to make yourself spiritual. For instance, and we use this illustration all the time because it's a biblical illustration. The Pharisees read their Bible every day. The Pharisees gave their tithe. The Pharisees tithed. The Pharisees fasted every week. They did more than we do. The Pharisees, you know, they did all these things, and in the Bible, do you think the Pharisees were spiritual? Be honest, were they? Were the religious leaders, those Jewish religious leaders, were they spiritual? No, they weren't spiritual. Because simply, religion does not make you spiritual. Checking off the boxes does not make you spiritual. It's dependence upon the Lord. It's submitting to him and his will. It's putting yourself in a position for the Holy Spirit to bless you and make you spiritual. I would ask you this morning, what floor are you on? We can take steps against the Holy Spirit. We can take steps with the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is, we can get off of the escalator, but where are you at? What floor may you be stuck on? Three things. I'm going to do this real quick. Ready? Three things this morning. That was all introduction. Holiness according, number one is holiness according to position. How does God see me? I've already covered this, so we're not going to cover it again to the nth degree. But again, upon salvation, I'm placed in Christ. I'm set apart from sin unto the Lord. Christ took my sin. He died for my sin. Therefore, I'm holy before God, positionally and legally. I'd ask the question this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Him and Him alone? Are you depending upon His life, His death, and His resurrection as a means of saving you from God's wrath upon your sin? From saving you from hell to have a home in heaven? Hell is real, by the way. Have you accepted Christ as Savior this morning? Christian, this morning, how's holiness living out in your life? Jesus said to the Christian, be ye holy, for I am holy. Are you living that holiness out in your life? You as a Christian, do you desire to be holy? Do you desire to live a life of holiness, a life yielded to God? Have you presented your bodies a living sacrifice? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 says, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. What? Listen, you know this one, most of you do. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For what? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Glorify God in your bodies. We ought to glorify God with our actions. We ought to glorify God with our lives. Being yielded to Him. That's holiness. Another area, the Bible speaks about, we are a peculiar people. We're to be salt. We're to be light to this world. Hello? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He said, you are the salt of the earth. We are to be a peculiar people. We are to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. A Christian ought to look different, act different, smell different, talk different than the world does. Your actions at work ought to be that of actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And yet so many Christians go out on, you know, they come to church on Sunday, they may dress nice and may talk the religious, you know, terminology, but they go to work Monday through Friday and live like the devil. Not desiring to live a holy life. Go out on the weekends and party and drink and have, you know, do all those things. Listen, we're to live holy lives. We're not to... Anyway. How long do I want to stay here? Holiness. We're to live separated lives from the world. But we live in this grace culture that believes that, you know, as Christians, you can do anything you want. Radical grace movement is what it's called, where they say, well, God's grace will cover anything in your life, so just live how you want to live. No. The grace of God was not a license to live how you want to live. The grace of God was given to us to empower us to live a holy life. It's just the opposite of what those radical grace guys are teaching. Levy and many others, a bunch of churches out there teaching that radical grace theology and teachings. No, I'm to live a holy life. I'm to abstain from some things. I'm not, as a Christian, I shouldn't drink alcohol. Amen. The Bible teaches against drinking alcohol. It's not good for you. It can ruin your life. You say, well, preacher, I drink, you know, socially, and I think that's fine. And listen, you may be able to drink socially, and it may be fine for you. I think it's still against the Bible and wrong. But what if your kids see you drinking? And one of your kids is prone to alcoholism, to drunkenness. I'm telling you, you are responsible that your kid became an alcoholic. Hello, wake up. Alcohol ruins families' lives. It's not worth the drink. It's not worth it to even socially drink. It's against the Bible. Holiness would have us to live a holy life. You shouldn't gossip. You know, I'm doing something other than drinking and smoking and chewing, all right? You shouldn't gossip. The Bible says our tongue is like a fire. Man, be careful. Tame the tongue. The Bible talks about us putting reins on our tongue like you do on a horse. And that bridle, that rein, that bridle, and keeping a hold of your tongue. Man, we have loose lips, don't we? We'll say, well, preacher, I've never said anything to anybody who wasn't true. Well, even truth can still be gossip. Every Christian's greatest advocate should be another Christian. Every Christian's greatest advocate should be another Christian. What did Mama say? If you ain't got nothing good to say, what? That actually is a biblical principle. That's what tell-bearer in the Bible means. Tell-bearer is a gossip. Somebody who either tells something that is, you know, negative about another person that is false or true. Unless you're speaking to that person. Be careful. Man, gossip ruins lives. Gossip ruins people's testimony and their reputation. People have lost jobs over gossip. False word gets out about them. Holiness unto God, living a separated life, being the salt of the earth, being the light that we ought to be. People in your job and people in your home, your family, your kids, your uncles, your aunts, your neighbor next to you ought to know by the way you live that there's something different about you. Amen. Something different. Because there's something different in your life, one day you may get a knock at your door. Maybe it's your neighbor who says, hey, I've seen you go to church a couple of times, and I've seen your car gone, and I've noticed the way that you live, and I noticed the way your kids behave. I've got something wrong in my life. Could you help me? It's that difference you show that will influence others. But that difference only comes by way of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You cannot conjure up in your flesh the ability and power to live a holy life. No. The escalator is always moving. Get back on the escalator and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work in your life. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to Him. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even unto are we called that we should follow in His steps. We're called to be holy, and we're called to follow in the steps of Jesus. Say, preacher, when you boil it all down, practically living out holiness. Now, positionally, our holiness before God is determined by salvation, determined by our belief, our trust in Jesus Christ. But practically, holiness, how am I to live a holy life? Where is my example? Is it all this checklist? No, it's following in the steps of Jesus. It really does come down to the saying, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus. On and on and on. Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lastly, holiness. Holiness is from the inside out. Morality is from the outside in. The Pharisees were clean on the outside. But when Jesus pointed at them, he said to those Pharisees and Sadducees, he pointed his finger at them, he said, your cup is clean on the outside, but on the inside, it is dirty. He said, your sepulcher is clean on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. Oh, the Pharisees and Sadducees lived moral lives, but they didn't live holy lives. Holy life is lived by way of the Holy Spirit from the inside out. I'm thankful that I have the Holy Spirit to enable me and empower me to live the Christian life. That process by which I know that I'm saved, not process, but that point in time I trust in Christ as my Savior, and I am forgiven of the penalty of sin, and then I'm also given power over sin. And then one day, I'll be given victory over the presence of sin. I'm waiting for that day of glorification when Jesus calls us home, aren't you? No more sin, no more selfishness, but holiness. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm holy before God, again, because I'm saved. But child of God, have you yielded your life to Him? Have you yielded your life to a merciful God? Are you living out a holy life? Separated from the world. But that's a Pharisee and Sadducee if you're not careful. Separated from the world unto God. Having that daily walk with Jesus Christ, following in His steps, loving Him, allowing Him to lead in your life. Holiness. Holiness. How is your cup? Have you cleaned the outside, but the inside is dirty as it can be? How is your sepulcher? Is it clean on the outside, but full of dead men's bones on the inside? May we today desire to live holy lives. May we desire to live separated lives unto God. Let's all stand. Hymn 163, Only Trust Him. Only trust Him. This is a subject not preached upon much. And we certainly wouldn't want to come every Sunday and hear a message like this one that just simply says, you are a sinner, get right with God. But that's what it is today. I'm a sinner. I need to get right with God and come and ask God to forgive me my sins. I'm a sinner. I'm unholy. Lord, I want to live a holy life. Lord, I'm relying and depending upon you, your Holy Spirit, to help me live a holy life. I hope this morning as a Christian that is your desire, is to live a holy life. We're not, you know, Paul said there's a war within me. You know, there's a struggle there, but I desire to live a holy life. Do you? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we've had. Lord, I pray that you again would, through your Holy Spirit, give a conviction to those who may not be saved this morning. Lord, they may walk the aisle and accept you as Savior. God, may you, through your Holy Spirit, convict Christians, Lord, and that we might live holy lives and be a testimony and a light and salt to this world. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.